going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, indeed. Team WWO going through round two of the NFL draft. The Saints taking Tyler Shough, Louisville quarterback, with the 4th overall selection. After that, guys, we had TJ Sanders coming off to the board for the Buffalo Bills. Then it was Mason Taylor out of LSU, the tight end, going to the New York Jets. Alfred Collins, defensive lineman out of Texas, going to the San Francisco 49ers. And the Dallas Cowboys just took Donovan Ezeraku, the edge, out of Boston College.
He was
catch him up on the picks over there.
Yeah, he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Man, every game you watched him, he was in the backfield like the quarterback was.
He makes plays.
He is a thin-based guy, but boy, can he get off the edge really, really quick. And before we get into Ezeraku, I'm gonna throw it to Mike Haas, because we were talking about, you know, Tyler. And he played at Hamilton High School out in Arizona, but you did a little bit of background because Spencer is from Arizona also.
First off, I'm not taking Jay Kaner and Derek Carr and, of course, not Ben DiNucci out of this conversation, but think about this competition that you'd have right now. So you got Tyler Shough, he's from Chandler, Arizona, and you have Spencer Rattler from Phoenix, Arizona. He went to Pinnacle High School. They're about 23 miles apart. So there, it's a suburb. The most suburb.
So it's like the North Shore. It's like you're driving the causeway.
So Spencer is 24 years old, and Shough is 25. They are both born on September 28th.
So a year,
one in 1999, one in 2000. How about that competition coming up?
And no one's making a big deal out of Spencer Rattler's age.
Right.
No, and it's okay, he's 25. Let's say he plays 10, 12 years. Like, I played till I was 37. So you get 10, 12 years out of a player, then that's all you need. I mean, it's not like, oh, you got to get them when they're 20 or they're just starting out and you want them for 15 years. How about, first things first, just get them for a decade?
Right, again, eight quarterbacks last 4 years.
And just try to go in that direction.
I think because of NIL and because of this transfer portal, we are going to see a lot more Tyler Shoughs in this world that come out at 24, 25 years old. Just because of all the movement that goes on with quarterbacks.
Yep. Staying in college.
No, well, you're staying in college because you're getting paid good money. I mean, technically, he was 7 years in college.
Yeah, 18 was his first year at Oregon, but
he got redshirted.
Right.
And so that you also get the COVID year as well.
And we're almost out of that section, right? So with the COVID year, numbers will start kind of winding down.
You know, and we were talking about Mason Taylor, the second LSU player to get drafted. He goes to the New York Jets. And you know what I found interesting, Mike? I was reading this. Because you look at Will Campbell going to the Patriots. And we all say, okay, look like Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. And I thought this was interesting with LSU's program. That's why I always say we got to hold Coach Kelly's feet to the fire. LSU has now produced a top five pick in 6 of the past 7 NFL drafts. You look at Campbell, followed linebacker Devin White. Then you had Joe Burrow. You had Jamar Chase. You had Derek Stingley. Then you had Jane Daniels. It's given LSU the most top 5 picks from one school in that span. Ohio State is second with 5. So here, you know, the great Ohio State, look where they're at right now. When you look at that LSU, if you look at the past 7 NFL drafts, have had more top 5 picks. One more.
And think about, they've already had 2 with the possibility of an Emory Jones, a Miles Frazier, a Braden Swinson, Savion Jones, that could be picked tonight.
On day 2.
Think of that.
Yeah.
For LSU. So, but Ohio State's going to have
I'm going to give you a little information, Bobby, and you do with it what you want to do with it.
Okay.
So, we talked about the 7 years in college.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
was the first year that he played more than 7 games.
Yep.
Because of injuries. Had broken collarbone, a shoulder injury, and broken leg during his 3 years at Texas Tech. But he never played more than 7 games until this year.
Until like this year at Louisville.
At right. Louisville.
Okay.
But he's played in different systems like we talked about.
So you know he's smart.
3 different systems. And so that's one of the things that you talked about. He's already married. We talked about 25. He'll be 26 once the season starts.
He's settled, yep.
And so just wants to play ball. He'll get the opportunity down here in New Orleans.
Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about him skipping curfew after hours. You know, he's going home to his wife. Does he have a kid yet or something?
He has the dog.
Yeah,
I don't know if he has a kid yet, but he has the dog.
No kid, but he does.
No, that's like the best thing ever happened to me. I was a senior in college. I had a kid. And then my dad was like, oh, you know, I got my wife pregnant and all that. So it wasn't a shotgun wedding, but, you know, I took responsibility for my actions. So I ended up getting married, and my dad's like, oh, you messed up your football career and all that. The coaches go, no, this is the best thing that ever happened to him. I ended up doing better in school and had more responsibility, had a wife and a kid. It, you know, it settles you down.
My thing about it is the injuries he had, those were broken bone injuries. It wasn't like it's a tear here
right.
or it's an ACL injury. You talk about a broken leg, broken collarbone.
I mean, I was so familiar with the Saints and Pelicans soft tissue.
The last part that I'll give you, and this you can attest to this.
Okay.
The one concern that you have with him is pressure. He doesn't do well with pressure.
No. Not like he won't hang in there and make the throw, dude?
No. Here's what's his issue. Oh, okay. I told this to Hoss. He's a pocket passer, and he's really accurate.
Tell me he does like Jim Everett and falls down.
No.
He's a duck and chuck.
He's a duck guy and moves away, and then his accuracy skills go off.
Man, you got to hang in there. They don't hit the quarterback anyway anymore. Just hang in there and make the throw. They're not knocking the crap out of you. I don't like that duck and chuck thing.
We're heading to a news break here on WWL. Stick around for more of the TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage at Hooters and Metairie, 4748 Veterans Boulevard. Make sure you stop by. Say hi to the Cajun Cannon, Mike D'Atelier, Mike Hoss, and Deuce McAllister. And me, Steve Keller, will be back with more right after this on WWL. Steve Geller with Saints legends Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, also draft analyst Mike D'Atelier, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, bringing every pick of the NFL draft plus all-pro analysis. And we're here at the Hooters in Metairie. What you crave in food and wings, cold beer, and $5 margaritas. Love to meet you out here. Stop by on Veterans Boulevard. And we're going through the NFL draft right now. The New Orleans Saints in round 2, adding a quarterback to the roster out of Louisville. Tyler Shuck, the newest black and gold member, as we get ready for 2 picks coming in the 3rd round for the Saints. Coming off the board just now, the LA Rams selected Terrence Ferguson, another tight end coming off the board. He's out
of Oregon. Is that, the 4th tight end now? The 4th tight end, I think, taken?
Yes. Correct. Yep. And he got picked before Elijah Rory from Miami.
Oh, yeah. Mike, I tried that.
But Terrence is a tall drink of water tight end. Man, he is a mismatch. And even when he's covered, he's not, because of his length and his height to go up and
well,
make a
he's
catch.
Going to the right place, the Rams and their offensive
and
system.
And Sean McVay knows how to use
him. Yes, and you got look who's spinning it, Matthew Stafford. but he hit the lottery going to that team.
Well, and, you know, the rumor mill was either quarterback or tight end for the Rams, and, you know, it was one of the 2 top guys that they were either moving up for.
They're getting Matthew Stafford help.
They're getting him a little help. And here's your guy, Bobby, for the Cardinals, and Mike's guy finally coming off the board, a guy that we thought would be picked on yesterday.
Will Johnson.
Oh, yeah, the corner from Michigan. But isn't he more like a zone guy than he was dealing with injuries?
Yeah, now, one thing with Harbaugh
and man.
No, I was saying, like, ain't Dookie David? Ain't Jason Damon?
No,
you know?
No. Take a look at Will Johnson.
With the Tampa
no,
two.
He's a much bigger guy.
He probably goes about 6'1", maybe 6'2", Bobby.
And wasn't he at one time the number one cornerback, top 10?
Yes.
Bob, I think.
But a bad wheel.
Yeah. Before the season started, on my list, he was sixth.
He was a top 10 coming into the season.
He was sixth overall for me.
Top 10 coming into the season.
And then he plays four games. He has a turf toe injury.
6'1" and a half. 6'1" and three quarters.
That's a big corner.
That's a big corner.
Well, I tell you what, if he's healthy, that's a big get for the Cardinals.
Well, that's the problem.
If he's healthy, and he plays the ball like a receiver. Watch him as he covers, and even though he plays a lot of off coverage, he'll jump up in man, and he reads the eyes of a quarterback so well, and that's because he played a lot of receiver in high school.
And the other part of it, though, the one thing that I will say that he struggles with is if he's got his eyes on it, he's great, but he doesn't track it well. Once I turn and now I locate the receiver, I've got to find the football. He's a little slow tracking it. And so that was some of the concern. But, I mean, the size, the ability to jump the football, he's got all that. The issue for him is that knee. And if he's healthy, then
because of his knee, he didn't really run a 40.
He didn't run the 40 at all.
And he did a couple of drills. But when he didn't run, Charlie and I were talking about this. Uh-oh.
Red flag.
To me, that's when the balloon went up. He's going to fall.
Because I tell you, if he can run, it's basically 6'2", 195.
That's what I'm
saying. Like Paulson and Debo.
Yeah, I mean, but he knows, and the Raiders are trading again.
Man.
Damn.
Raiders moved back a couple times.
Trade the pick to Houston, Texans.
Houston has been all over the place.
But think about what the Cardinals have done. They took the Ole Miss guy, Walter Nolan.
Yeah.
And then they take Will Johnson.
Oh, the front's coming through right now.
some rain.
N.E.M.
Some rain is coming, Bobby. You know, and you give us the weather report for us.
No, I told him that before. My knee was acting.
I can feel the temperature dropping 10 degrees right now.
Yep.
My knee was acting up, too. So I was better than Nash Roberts on that call.
See, everybody watch their laptop. Bobby's got 1,500 pieces of newspaper.
I'm holding it down.
That's why I put something on the top of mine. I felt it long ago.
But that boy, you can feel that. Bobby's right. That ozone.
Yes. Oh, it feels nice.
With that pressure coming in with the rain.
Nice and cool. So the Texans pick is in, but it's happening quick now.
Well, while we wait for Tyler Shuck to call into WWL Saints Radio, we're going to take a break here. We're here doing our Draft Fest coverage at the Hooters in Metairie. Make sure you stop by to see the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Aber, also Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, Mike D'Antilier, and myself. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more. Have those $5 margaritas right after this on WWL. Back to football in the NFL draft here at the Hooters in Metairie. WWL with you covering every single pick. And we just had Will Johnson coming off the board, finally going to the Arizona Cardinals. He had a long wait, finally ended the Michigan cornerback. And then the Minnesota's offensive tackle, Ariante Esri, going to the Houston Texans, who had traded up to the 48th overall selection in round two. Currently,
the Bengals are on the clock, yep.
And it's saying the pick is in, so things are definitely moving along quickly, like we keep saying.
You know, looking at, did Isaiah Bond go yet, the wide receiver from Texas, Mike?
No, he didn't, but Ursa Ray just did, man, for the Texans. You talk about a dude that's big. Man, I want him coming off the team bus first. Because he's
apart.
Like 6'7", 335 pounds. He is a man out there on the field. And then the Bengals have now selected Demetrius Knight Jr. And
guess where he's from.
South Carolina. And Demetrius is a bit on the overage part, too. He's a guy that was started at Georgia Tech and switched over to South Carolina. And he was at Charlotte. Excuse me. And then he transferred to South Carolina. In South Carolina, they almost have sent the entire defense
to
the National Football League.
That shows you that South Carolina, their defense, and really, you look how LSU beat them. They were lucky to beat them last year. Remember the pick six, and then they knocked out the quarterback. They hit Nussmeier, their defense was solid.
And their quarterback with a year under his belt, I know, Deuce, you watched.
Sellers.
Man. That Sellers guy got much better as a passer. He scared the heck out of you as a runner. But, man, South Carolina, you talk about a rebuild on defense, it's a total rebuild for South Carolina. So Cincinnati picks up linebacker Demetrius Knight Jr. And
he's pretty strong, Mike. Looking, he's doing like he did 225. He's third among linebackers, 22 reps.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He's a very physical player. Now, sometimes he overreacts and will pull himself out of position. But when he hits you, man, it's like a four-car collision.
Yeah, watching a couple of highlights, he's tattooing people. He ain't just stripping them. No. He's like delivering a blow.
My thing is, too, how did they miss out on not getting into the final 12?
Yeah.
Well, they got hot at the end. But
they really got hot.
Right. Hot at the end.
That loss to LSU cost them
an opportunity to be in the postseason.
I agree.
Guys, I'm getting word that we will be getting quarterback Tyler Shuck calling in any moment now.
Okay.
So stay tuned, Hoodats, as we wait for the brand new quarterback of the Black and Gold to join us here on WWL Saints Radio.
So we got the Seahawks on the clock right here. Mike, how about Siobhan Revelle Jr., the cornerback, East Carolina? He ain't going yet, huh?
No, he has not. Again, that's a little bit of a medical, similar to Will Johnson. That's why Revelle is still here. Now, he's coming off an ACL injury that he had early in the season. He was a guy I think everybody projected to be a first-round pick and like a middle first-round pick. And then, man, he goes down. My thing is, how did he end up at East Carolina?
Right.
How come somebody didn't give him an NIL to leave
the Pirates? Yeah.
I know one thing. I know some schools that would have paid him a lot more money than East Carolina.
Yeah, Deuce, how about from a linebacker from Ole Miss? I was looking around this range. Chris Paul Jr.
Pooh.
Yeah.
Chris Paul Jr. is a fast guy. Very fast. Very fast. And transferred from Arkansas. You know, a guy that's probably – I don't know if he can play the mic, but I can tell you he can play the wheel for you.
Yes.
And so a guy that, you know, should be a three down guy and a special teams guy.
Because he can cover.
Yeah.
He's a good cover. You know the guy, too, that's out there, Princely, Human Mealy.
Yeah.
He's still out there.
Well,
he's
a speed rusher, and probably surprised that he hadn't went as well in the second round a little bit. But the thing about Prince is probably playing the run.
Now, Prince is always up about, I'm going to get the quarterback.
I'm going to go get the quarterback.
But you know who really improved this year for Ole Miss, and I watched his growth, is Jared Ivey.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
Jared is totally different player from when I first watched him at Ole Miss, and that not only can he run well, but, man, he's got a nice takeoff and get up the field to get after the quarterback.
But he's probably a guy as well when you look at him. You're probably thinking more 3-4 and strong side defensive end. Guy that came from Georgia Tech, played a couple years up in Oxford, but you know, some of those guys that, you know, this is the area, second round, third round. Prince probably, though, felt like he should have gotten late one, probably early second, but still hadn't been picked yet.
Now, the other guy too is, he came to one of our camps, JJ Fagiz. So he tells me, he said,
he's a coach, quarterback.
He said, Coach, I'm going to pay running back and fullback in college. I took a look at him. He got on the scale. He was 288 pounds. Now, he was slim. He was 17 years old. He was 288. And I said, what, you playing running back? He said, yeah. Auburn. He said, they told me I would play running back at Auburn. The first thing they did, they moved him to tight end.
Moved him to tight end, and then they moved him to defensive line. And he was a quarterback. Yeah. Played at Lafayette. That's the county school up in Oxford. He was a quarterback. And then you always told him, you tried to tell him even in high school, son, you're a defensive lineman. You're a defensive lineman. And so he's a guy that, you know, when you talk about a Taysom Hill type player, because he did it in Oxford. He did it in Auburn a little bit. But, Bobby, he would be the one guy that would line up at D tackle. I mean, he starts at D tackle.
Right.
As a three technique. And then you would put him in at tight end or quarterback on short yardage. On offense.
He's like the Mississippi Virgin of Taysom Hill.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, but
he didn't do it once or twice. He's got numerous. If I had to guess, he probably had 10 touchdowns.
Oh, man.
10 touchdowns as far as short yardage is concerned. He's got great feet.
What was the game that Jackson Dart sort of whiffed? And he got tackled in the backfield, Ivy. But I remember that game. It was like a fourth and half yard, and they hit him in the backfield. Wow. I was one of the few times that actually somebody got him before he got ahead of steam
going. What I was about to say. You better catch him before that 3:30 is coming down at you.
So Seattle has the pick in, and we're just waiting for them to make the official
Sean.
Call.
Sean's got his balls up.
Look, the tight end for Elijah, the Hurricanes.
Man, and you talk about a dude that can fly, 6'4 plus, 255 pounds. He had a lot of injury.
A lot of adversity, huh, Mike? And he overcame it.
Yeah, and he averaged almost 17 yards a catch, which was the most by any FBS tight end last year. Now, he did have a dude that knew how to sling it. I mean, Cam Ward, he knew how to sling it. But if I'm playing Miami or Florida, he was the one guy that scared the bejesus out of you.
And, Mike, he has a good feel-good story because all that adversity.
He had
and
a lot of issues, injuries. Also, childhood was difficult.
He was like an American dream, the success story to be where he's at right now.
But, again, injuries is why he's lasted. What we on who was picked 50th that he went?
50, yeah.
Because had he not had the injuries, we talk again, that is part of how you get selected. He would have gotten picked higher. He was such a talented athlete.
Guys on the line now, happy to welcome in the newest member of the Black and Gold, Tyler Shook, quarterback joining the Black and Gold with their second round pick. Thanks so much for joining us here on WWL Saints Radio. I'm Steve Geller. With me, Tyler, I got Mike Haas, Mike Dettillier, Saints legends Deuce McAllister, and Bobby Iabert. Tyler, how are you doing, man? Congratulations.
Awesome. I'm fired up, guys. Just excited to get down there and, so fired up for this opportunity and really excited to get to talk to you guys as well.
Now, Tyler, how excited you are that all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks in the room when you look at, all the players and then you look at the coaches. So that's a lot of wisdom going around there. So you got to be fortunate to be with Coach Kellen Moore. And then you look at Nussmeier. It goes on and on. And it's just and they have that confidence in you. You have to be pleased with that, that they believe in you to draft you this high.
No doubt. I think it's the only team where the quarterback coach, the OC, and the head coach are all quarterbacks that have played at, the highest level. And, they know what it looks like. And I'm just really excited to learn from them. And you, like you said, you got all those QBs in the room, and it's such a great, such a great room to be a part of, and it's so vital to the success of the team. And I'm just really, really excited to come in there and continue to learn and grow and compete.
Tyler, I want to tell you congratulations, first of all, and, just tell us about this process. I know that you met with the Saints, a couple of times, and, it's been a process for you as well when you talk about to get to this point. Just tell us about that process for you and some of the things that you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I had an unbelievable process with the Saints and obviously other multiple teams as well, but I think what stood out to me was – I spent the whole day with the quarterback coach, Coach Tolzien, and before my pro day, and had dinner and lunch and did the whole, film and board work with him. Got to come to New Orleans and visit with all the coaches and just saw the unbelievable facilities and really fell in love with how they viewed the quarterback position, how they talked about it. And just working with them, and that was kind of my number one spot in the back of my head. And, I was going to be excited no matter what, but whenever it started kind of the stars aligned that way, I was definitely getting, my heart was beating a little bit. And once it finally happened, it was, just a blessing for sure. I mean, I can't wait.
Now, Tyler, you were fortunate. Like at Louisville, you were able to stay healthy. But really only one full year of starting experience without having the season, cut short, whether by injuries. Is that just something that you think maybe you're a little snake bit there? And that the one thing I was looking at, your accuracy sometimes can run cold and hot. Is that something that how clean is the pocket? Or how do you break that down as far as, because you say you could throw the ball, you got a pretty ball, but what's your breakdown when you look at your situation now? And obviously it only takes one great season to really get recognized, and that's what happened at Louisville.
Yeah, for me, I had a full season at Oregon, and it was obviously cut short by COVID and had no injuries then. And, whenever I did get injured, I kind of had the freak bone breaks with the collarbone and I got hip dropped with my fibula, and it hasn't affected me since then. It's kind of helped me out more than anything mentally, just game planning with the staff and finding a way to add value. But I think for me, to your point, with some of the accuracy things that you talked about, it really stems from the footwork that it was the first time in my career. I'm playing in a pro-style system where you're taking 7-step, 5-step drops, trying to be more consistent with that, being more grounded. And you're asked to do a lot more things. And it was great for me, to go through that, to grow through that, and come out of the other side where you can, okay, I understand, how I can improve this way rather than coming into the NFL. And now you're going through the learning process. And, obviously I'm going to continue to learn and grow and get better. But for me, it kind of strengthened me from that perspective, and being able to talk about that and dive into it, I think really helped me throughout this process.
Tyler, Mike Dettelier, congratulations on getting selected by the Saints. First question is, who did you work with in the offseason? And I know everybody has somebody, a kind of quarterback guru or training guru they work with. And How much time did you spend with Kellen Moore in any sort of one-on-one discussion? Was it at the combine, individual workouts, that sort of thing?
Yeah, for me, this for the past 3 years, really, and especially throughout this process, worked with Landry Klon, with QB Country. He's a former Nicholls State quarterback in Thibodaux, so I know he's fired up for me to go back to Louisiana, and met him at the Manning Passing Academy, and Archie and all those guys were obviously a huge influence on me, and just so excited for that opportunity. And then meeting with Kellen, we met for probably over a couple hours whenever I was on the visit. Being able to sit down and have lunch and watch a bunch of film with him, and did the same thing with Coach Nussmeier and Coach Tolzien, and I was just really thankful for that chance, and we connected and hit it off right away.
Tyler, Mike Haas, I'm the voice of the Saints. I have spent the last 10 minutes in this rabbit hole in Arizona. First off, congratulations. So you are from Chandler, went to Chandler Hamilton, and Spencer Rattler went to some Phoenix. He went to Pinnacle. And so you're both born on September 28th, a year apart. I know Pinnacle and Chandler played in 2014. What is your relationship, if anything?
Play against each other?
Yeah, did you play against each other? Do you know each other? Just tell me about that.
Yeah, no, we know each other. We know each other for sure. We played each other growing up in like peewee football back in the day, and he was like the Scottsdale Firebirds. I was on the Chandler Pumas or something like that. And then obviously we went to different high schools, so we weren't in the same district. So we didn't play in high school, but obviously knew each other. We were kind of in the QB circuit together. We got to chat and hang out at the Manning Passing Academy, which was pretty cool. But yeah, I was super fired up to work with him. And obviously you got, a couple of Arizona guys there with Cam Jordan and Spencer, and previously working and living and rooming with Juwan Johnson as well. So I can't wait.
All right, so quarterbacks are like golfers. Who won in the Pee Wee? Scottsdale, the Firebirds, or the Pumas?
The Pumas.
I don't remember. I think we got the better of them. Back then, you guys were calling me old. That was definitely a while ago, but I remember playing them at Chaparral or something like that. But if we were gonna golf, I'm sure I'd probably win that though.
Very cool. Thank you, man. I appreciate you going down the rabbit hole with me.
Now, Tyler, it's Bobby Hebert. Now, if you look at my name, how you get Hebert out of Hebert? H-E-B-E-R-T. Well, how do you get Shuck out of S-H-O-U-G-H? Is that an Irish name, or what is that? Because people say, well, I like that Tyler Show or Shaw or something like that.
Yeah,
and I go, no, it's Shuck. We like to shuck oysters down here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're shucking oysters. It definitely should not be that. It's Scottish for medium-sized dog. Learned that, so that's pretty cool. But kindergarten definitely sucked trying to explain that to people. But yeah, it's Shuck, and once people kind of learned it, they just rolled with it. So T Shuck, Shuck, that's what I go by. And but yeah, it's to your point, it doesn't make sense.
When shucking oysters here in Louisiana, yeah, that's a good thing.
There we go.
Tyler, I was telling them this when you came to Manning, they had your name up on that piece of paper, and then under it in parentheses, it was Shuck. Because, everybody would have might have messed that up a little bit. Yeah. But I do recall that as you sitting down waiting to get interviewed, they had that piece of paper above you, and they had your name spelled out, but underneath it in parentheses, it was Shuck.
Yeah, it's definitely I was glad they got it right as well on the draft, but the S-H-U-C-K, I debated that as a kid. I was like, man, why does it sound like this? I'm just going to change it when I'm 18, and I just ended up keeping it the same just because it stuck. And obviously, once you know it, you don't forget it. But, no, I mean, it's definitely pretty funny for sure.
Now, Tyler Shuck, age 25, I think that could work to your advantage. That's what I said. He's not coming into pro football like wet behind the ears. I mean, you know, you get like, oh, he's so talented. He's coming in a 20, 21-year-old. I think by being 25 and all the experience you have and where all the places you've been, that actually works to your benefit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, quarterbacks, they probably play their best ball whenever they're in their 30s. You know, you got Matthew Stafford playing MVP level. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers won multiple MVPs in their 30s and Super Bowls. And you got guys, Josh Allen and Lamar, getting older and playing, you know, at MVP levels. And I think, you know, the trend and, you know, Baker Mayfield and Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, guys who have kind of been through some stuff and have been seasoned and gone through some adversity and been through multiple situations, and they're kind of finding their stride. And, you know, luckily I was able to do that in college, and that's why I, you know, was super excited for this opportunity. And I always felt like I was the most pro-ready guy in this draft class to come in and compete right away and contribute.
Tyler, definitely looking forward to you getting to get acquainted with this city. How much do you know about New Orleans? Have you gotten to visit some?
Well, he's been to Thibodeau.
He went to Thibodeau to the Manning camp.
Yeah, so he had to land in New Orleans first, probably, right?
That's right. No, I've been multiple times, for sure. I haven't got to go out in the city much, but the food that we had in Thibodeau was the best I've ever had. You know, no doubt about that. So I can't wait to get there. Definitely going to have to eat it in small quantities because I got to keep the weight right. But I definitely loved it whenever I was there. And you can't beat the weather either.
Yeah, it seems like you're well-grounded, happily married. You don't have to worry about hitting the town. You know, and New Orleans is compared sometimes to Las Vegas. So I think that actually can work to your benefit that you settle down and married, and football is your number one priority.
No doubt. No, we're excited to hopefully get a house somewhere and with a backyard and just go be all about ball, and just really excited to get in the building and definitely going to be living there in the building more than anything. So,
are you aware with the Who Dat tradition here of the Who Dat say they're going to beat them Saints? You got to give us your very first Who Dat here on WWL Saints Radio, Tyler.
Yes, sir. Who Dat? Who Dat? Who that said they're going to beat them Saints?
All right, pretty good.
You ready to rock and roll.
Appreciate the time, Tyler Shuck. Thank you so much for joining us here on WWL Saints Radio.
Yeah, that was good, Tyler.
That was really good.
It seems somebody must have coached you up on that. You did really good.
Let's go.
Tyler Shuck right here on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome to the Big Easy, brought to you by Bud Light. Drink and enjoy Bud Light. Guys, getting to know the new QB of the Black and Golden. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one come training camp. Obviously, again, we got a lot of young guns in camp dueling it out.
Well, now we see not only we're going to have to wait till training camp, OTAs. I'm looking forward now to the OTAs, the mandatory mini camp. You know, you're going to be charting every rep, you know, they take. And, they each threw 20 passes. Who completed what? You know how everybody pays attention to detail.
I'm not paying attention.
No, you know, but you know how people, somebody will be
still,
doing it.
There's no, you don't even get to wear a helmet.
Well, you still got to be accurate. Listen, if you're not accurate and they're not hitting you, then you ain't going to be accurate when they're hitting you. So that's why I always look at it. You better be throwing about 90%, 85-90% if they ain't hitting you. You know when you do, like, I never forget that drill. We're in training camp in West Virginia. We're practicing against the Patriots. And it's Tom Brady versus Drew Brees.
They were both almost 100%.
Yeah, it was 40 reps. And the ball hit the ground. Tom Brady was 20 for 20. Drew was 19 or 20, and the receiver dropped it. It should have been 40 for 40. So that's what I'm saying. When you see like 7 no rush, 7-on-7 off, you know what you're doing? No, you better not be 50% in that drill. I'll be like, damn, that ain't good.
Notre Dame cornerback Benjamin Morrison coming off the board, going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then we also had Anthony Belton going to the Green Bay Packers, an offensive lineman. We're taking a break here on our WWL draft coverage at the Hooters in Metairie at 4748 Veterans Boulevard. Make sure you come and stop by. Be back with more right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into WWL's Draft Fest coverage, trainsouth.com, WWL Draft Fest here at Veterans Boulevard, enjoying some wings, cold beer, craveable food at the Hooters on Metairie.
want you to join us out here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Mike D'Attilier, Mike Hollis, Deuce McAllister. I'm Steve Geller, and now we're going to head over to the Saints facility where our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak is joining us. Jeff, we got the QB over and done with in round two. What were your impressions of him? I know you got to speak with him at the Saints facility on a Zoom call. We just also had him here on WWL Radio, but just curious your thoughts on Tyler Shuck.
Well, first, have we decided, are we going with oh shucks or shuck and awe? You know, I think we got some options. But, no, I mean, he's a very mature guy, right? I think that comes off very quickly. I think you understand that. He's 25. I asked him, you know, if he felt like the age was a factor, if he felt like it's an advantage, if it's a disadvantage. He said he feels like he's coming into this league more mature than maybe your average rookie. And, you know, you can kind of sense that about him. He's not going to walk in there and be overwhelmed. Right, he's a grown man. He's married. He's got a dog. He's got a family. Like, it's an interesting thing. And Steve, you know this because I've been saying this to you for weeks and weeks. And you're like, why would they take Tyler Shuck? I'm like, because they like Tyler Shuck because they view Tyler Shuck as one of the top quarterback options in this draft in a weak quarterback class. I've had him as my QB2 for a while now. I had him ahead of Jackson Dart. I don't know how many people actually did, but you know that's kind of where you are. And you know, the Saints targeted their quarterback. They got their quarterback. I would have been disappointed if they gave up too much to go get him. I would have been disappointed if they traded away a future pick to move up into the back end of the first. That would have probably been an overpay and definitely would have been an overpay now that you see how it's played out. But no, I think he's an intriguing guy. He's your more prototypical size for a quarterback. He throws the ball really well. You know, he reminds me of Jared Goff. He's got that similar kind of throwing motion, that kind of over-the-top throwing motion. You know, he's athletic. He had a good 40 time at the combine. He can move. I asked him, you know, if – because he has the injury history. I think he broke his collarbone twice. He had a broken fibula. And I asked him, you know, how long did that take to come back from? He said, really not that long. And, you know, when you're dealing with broken bones, you set the bone heals, you come back. I think it would be a much bigger concern if you were dealing with ligaments, if you tore up your knee, if you had to have, you know, joints or, you know, ligaments replaced and stuff of that nature, major surgeries. In this case, it's like, all right, I gotta put a cast on. I walk around with that. I take the cast off. I'm good to go. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a good fit.
Now, Jeff, would you be all right with this? You know, let's just say hypothetically. And, you know, we could deal in hypotheticals. You know, a lot of times, you know, the organization doesn't want to do that. But let's say Derek Carr, because of his shoulder, he's not really able to contribute for this upcoming season. So are you all right with if it be Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck, let him compete? And, you know, you throw in Jake Hayne or whatever, you know, all the quarterbacks, but may the best man win. And through competition, how they constantly you get graded. Every practice, they chart everything, OTAs, mandatory minicamp, preseason practices, preseason games, leading up to week one. Would you be all right if it looks like right now it would be Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler leading the team into the 2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have a competition. I mean, if you draft someone at number 5, number 3, whatever, in the top 10, you know, it kind of becomes, okay, you're drafting your starter, right? Your immediate starter. When you're talking about a guy at 40, you know, I think it's more so, hey, we really like the upside, the traits of this guy to come into that room and develop. Now, that's where the age comes in, because when you're talking about a 25-year-old guy, he's going to be 26 in his rookie season, that really can't be a 2 to 3 year project, right? Like, it's got to be a guy that you expect to play pretty early on. That doesn't mean he starts week one as a rookie, but, you know, I think that's where, you know, if you're looking at the age and saying, how is this a benefit, you should see a guy that comes in a little bit more polished, a little bit more ready to contribute. I don't think it's a huge issue in the grand scheme because, you know, if you're at a point where his age becomes an issue, you're talking about 6 to 8 years down the road. And if he's still your starter 6 to 8 years down the road, then he was probably good enough to be picked here because he's still starting for you. So, you know, I think if that becomes an issue, that's a good problem to have for the Saints. But, no, I mean, I think it's got to be a competition. And if I'm Spencer Rattler, I'm saying, all right, bet, let's go do it. It's hard to know where you're at with Derek Carr right now. You kind of have to go in assuming he's not going to be there. And then if he is, you figure that out. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's going to be. That's what it should be, is a competition day one of training camp. And you kind of see where you're at the end. And I wouldn't be stunned if Spencer Rattler wins that job and you kind of give him the first shot at it, you know, even though they're about the same age, which is just kind of a strange thing.
That's what I was going to bring up, Jeff. Mike Haas brought up that really no one makes a big deal out of Spencer Rattler's age and that Shuck's only 1 year older. He's 1 year old, and I can tell you right now, so when you look at it, no, if you're not a stud in your young 20s, maybe you cannot turn the corner. Look at Baker Mayfield, how he's handled the adversity. I can tell you right now, you know when I really felt like it clicked for me in the NFL, and I ain't getting fooled by no damn defense, I was 27 years old. In 1987, the strike year, we went 12-3. And no matter what a defense was doing, I knew what they were doing. Before that, a lot of times when you're young, you just winging it. You're just trying to make plays and do it. But I'm telling you, when you, to me, that's the wheelhouse. If you're in your late 20s, and you can say 27, 28, or early 30s, that you feel like if you're healthy, I know what the hell I'm doing. And it clicks. Like, for instance, when I made when I made the Pro Bowl, I was 33 and a half years of age. I wasn't no young guy, how you still are. No, I'm not saying you can't be a winner, but that's why I don't look at the age thing. That's not a problem for me as far as where they're at in their career, you know, with the Saints.
How about, I'm going to continue down the rabbit hole. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shuck and their high school careers, both Phoenix and Chandler. If you go 15 more miles down the road, you hit Queen City, Arizona. And a young guy who was Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. Brock wow. Purdy and Tyler Shuck are friends. They played against each other. They're 4 months apart in age. Tyler did his time in college. Purdy came out because of the injuries to Tyler. They played against each other, Power 5 high school in Arizona, but good friends. So you talk about guys that had some good competition growing up, close, like 15, 20 miles apart.
But we always talk about like Western Pennsylvania quarterbacks, like with Joe Montana and like Joe Namath, and then going to Alabama. I can bring up in the early 70s, Northwest Louisiana, yep. Shreveport, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Ferguson, Rustin Rifle, Burt Jones. So that's what you have in the modern-day version in Arizona. Doug Williams. That's what you have right here in Arizona. Look, when you add Brock Purdy to that in the mix, look at the proximity. NFL quarterbacks all right there.
Sorry, Jeff,
I still think the craziest thing is that, you know, Tyler Shuck and Juwan Johnson were teammates in college. Juwan Johnson's in his third NFL contract. But, you know, that's just – and they were friends. Right. They were roommates at one point. So, you know, it's really going to be fascinating to see this all play out.
So, Jeff, what would you like to see now when you look at the 71st pick of – you know, look, 73-93. It's interesting to see if you trading up, trading back. But if they would stay pat, 71-93, third round, still you can maybe expect a contributor at the high level of the upcoming season. So what are you looking for in the 71-93rd pick if they stay there?
Tell them cornerback, Jeff.
Yeah, we need some cornerbacks.
I mean, how much are you worried about Mike Green? Because if Mike Green's still on the board, someone's going to steal Mike Green, a first-round pick, like in the third round. But, cornerback, I think you got to go defense, right? You spent your first two picks on offense. Brandon Staley's over there like, hey, I'm trying to get something done. Can you give me a piece here? I just feel like whether it's cornerback, whether it's edge rusher, that's got to be where you go.
Well, cornerback or so, we got to get some run stuffer. I mean, we were one before last against the run, giving up basically 4.95 yards a run, 5 yards a run. I can tell you, it don't matter what scheme you have on defense, 4-3, 3-4, whatever. If you can't stop the run first, I mean, you have to. So, and Cam Jordan's getting old and all that.
Well, that's where Devin
Godshaw
comes into play. Here's my thing with Mike. So many teams have passed you up already. We know the off the field, but has the NFL told them more that maybe we don't know?
Because the NFL does go and get FBI involvement at that area. And guys, the Las Vegas Raiders just picked a Louisiana guy, Jack Besh. God bless him. From TCU, former LSU wide receiver. So Jack Besh goes to Las Vegas, and man, he can catch a BB. of his thrown at him. That guy, unbelievable receiver, started out at LSU, ends up at TCU where he had some.
Now he's at the Raiders. Kind of similar, you know, LSU connect. Foster Morrow started out with the Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders always, they intrigue with LSU product. Like, that goes back to even like old the Heisman winner, Billy Cannon, was a Raider. You know, Houston, all those Raiders. While, for a little while.
Right? Billy's like, I had a short stint in Oakland. I had a short stint with Hank Stram and the Chiefs.
Right.
Had a long run with the Oilers in Houston.
Best in the family in Lafayette, Louisiana. Yeah. That's just, man, it's
a lot of adversity.
Man, I was going to say, a lot of emotion in that room and in our state and in our city. So,
and look, the highlight they're showing is an LSU uniform, not a TC uniform.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
There's a TC uniform. Thank you, Jeff.
Sure, we'll be checking back in with you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Just think of this, guys. In one recruiting class, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., Jack Besh.
All NFL players.
In one shot. One shot.
That's why, as of late, you know how we're saying, like, LSU, Louisiana? I don't know LSU, like DBU.
No
more. Like wide receiver U.
I think 7-on-7 has transformed the guys that would have played running back or corner. Now they play receivers. Man, I don't play no defense. I hear it every year at all these camps. I don't want to play defense. I want to catch the ball.
So Mike, you look, Betch, as we go to the break, second round, 58 pick. That's about right.
That's about where it is. And, Bob, I thought about you as I saw that the Bears took Ozzie Trapilla.
Oh,
your
Steve Trapillo's
friend, Steve Trapilla's son. And, man, you played a long time with
Steve Trapillo. Started off as a rookie at guard for the Saints out of Boston College. Now, they both went to Boston College. I can tell this story, I guess, in 30 seconds. Let me tell you, Deuce.
No, you can't.
Okay, well, I'll wait after the break. Deuce said I can't.
No, you better go to break. You better go to break, Steve.
Just a great Trapillo story, Saints connection. His son is a giant. His son, Trapillo, was a giant. Steve was like 6'5 to 6'6. About 325, 330. His son's like 6'8, 6'9. And Mike, he is truly, you look at that gene pool's working there. It looks kind of like Big John. I mean, if you're that big, you can't make a small baby.
Last pick on the board, folks. Jack Besh, TCU wide receiver, going to the Raiders. On the clock right now, the pick in for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll be finding out that and a whole lot more when we return after this break. TrainSouth.com, WWL Draft Fest coverage here at the Hooters in Metairie. Be right back on WWL after this.